British budget cuts get a thumbs up from Fitch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. Britain's deficit-cutting plan has been given the green light from the credit rating agency Fitch. It says the UK's AAA credit rating would be safe, at least for the time being. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Remind us of the size of these budget cuts.
$130 billion is to be cut out of the UK budget over the next 4 years. This is a huge sum for Britain. It equates roughly to a total of about 6% of the UK's GDP. Just to give you an example of what it'll mean, 500,000 jobs will be lopped off the public sector payroll. Some critics, of course, fear this could plunge the UK back into recession. But David Riley of Fitch says these planned cuts have secured the UK's AAA credit rating. Without these drastic measures, he says, things could have been bad for Britain.
And the debt would have continued to rise at a very rapid pace. And certainly, in our assessment, its rating would have come under pressure and it would likely have had to pay a higher cost in terms of borrowing.
So Fitch, Stephen, approves of these budget cuts, but there must be people opposed, right?
Oh, yes. There's been a lot of adverse reaction. Some social charities have angrily attacked the cuts as bearing down too heavily on the poor. And the leader of the biggest union representing public sector workers has described the cuts simply as a massacre. So there must now be the possibility of strike action in protest.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
France has been grappling with budget cuts as well. One of the ways the government says it can save some money is by raising the retirement age to 62. A vote could happen this week. The proposed hike in retirement age has caused a lot of workers to take to the streets. There have been riots in Paris and a blockade of France's largest oil port in Marseille. The BBC's European correspondent Matthew Price is outside Marseille Airport, where hundreds of workers earlier closed the access road. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning, Steve.
How disruptive have the strikes been so far?
Well, at the airport, they were pretty disruptive this morning for a couple of hours, although the flights still took off, even if it was more difficult for passengers to get to the terminal building. I don't think Americans, though, would accept what's going on over here. The rubbish has been piling up on the streets in Marseille. The refuse workers are on strike, so there's the stink of decaying fruit and old coffee grounds around the city, the old city. Ships and tankers are moored offshore on the crystal blue waters of the Med. They're at anchor. They're unable to get to port at the moment because workers at port are on strike. And the fuel depots are affected. So many gas stations are closed. So it's not a pretty picture.
Marseille, Matthew, has the country's biggest port. What's the impact on the French economy?
Overall, President Sarkozy of France says it's pretty significant, and he fears that if this continues, that jobs will be lost as a result. European countries like the United States have fuel reserves, so France isn't about to grind to a halt. But this isn't good for the French image, of course, at a time when it would like to attract more foreign investment. All EU governments say they need to cut spending. So if the effect, the wider effect of these strikes, is to derail the French policy of trying to cut their budgets, then there could be a weakening of the market's view of the French economy as a whole.
The BBC's Matthew Price in Marseille. Matthew, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed at the moment. European shares are slightly higher. Got word today China's economy grew at 9.6% in the latest quarter. That was down, though, from the quarter before. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 129 points to close at 11,107.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
It isn't only the future of healthcare and taxes that may be decided in the midterm elections. One of the Obama administration's signature initiatives, high-speed rail, may also be rerouted come November. From the Transportation Nation Reporting Project at WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
When President Obama announced in his State of the Union he'd be putting $8 billion into high-speed rail projects, it seemed like a winning idea.
Tomorrow I'll visit Tampa, Florida, where workers will soon break ground on a new high-speed railroad funded by the Recovery Act.
He announced $1 billion to bring a line from Tampa to Orlando in a key swing state. The political calculation? Who could oppose thousands of construction jobs and a cool new technology that would put the state on the fast track to economic growth?
I'd rather take that money and fix Wisconsin's crumbling roads and bridges.
Turns out, several Republicans running for governor don't much like high-speed rail, like Wisconsin's Scott Walker, who says in this ad, high-speed rail construction will be a drain on the state's taxpayers.
They're going to have to spend up to $10 million a year just to keep a train running they may never ride.
That argument's being picked up by Republican candidates for governor in Florida and Ohio as well. Petra Todorovich, director of the planning group America 2050, says after the elections, some governors may give their money back.
That's maybe not a bad thing in the long run if that funding can go to states where the political support is strong.
And there are Republicans who support high-speed rail. Florida Congressman John Mica is one. He would chair the House Transportation Committee if Republicans take over next year. Speaking at a high-speed rail conference this spring, he said he's criticized some projects.
But I'm also a strong supporter of cost-effective transportation alternatives.
There's one other Republican who adores high-speed rail, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, a former congressman from Peoria. Look, the people vowing to send this train back to the station are missing the boat, LaHood wrote on his blog this month. LaHood was hired, in part, to smooth relationships with Republicans. Come January, he may need to. I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
For a link to the Transportation Nation project, check out marketplace.org. Finally, Joseph Jacoby, a pizza maker in Buffalo, New York, was facing a stiff prison sentence for tax fraud. But instead, a judge ordered Jacoby to pay restitution and once a week for the next 12 months feed his pizza to more than 100 nightly guests at the Buffalo City Mission homeless shelter. The judge said Jacoby could choose the toppings. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A couple of years ago, Corin Tucker from the band Slater Kinney noticed things taking a turn for the worse in her adopted hometown of Portland, Oregon.
You know, a couple of the people lost their jobs, and it seemed like it started to snowball. And it suddenly was like, when is this going to end?
I'm Kai Rizdal, a rock star turned stay-at-home mom, reflects on the recession. Our series, The Art of Money, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.